The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. It's Hugh Hewitt on the last day of August 2022. I'm sorry. I'm just so overwhelmed by reading stories about Mikhail Gorbachev. Remember, the man was a communist, and he wanted perestroika to succeed and glasnost to succeed so that the iron fist of the Soviet Union could continue as long as possible. It did not succeed because Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush brought them down, a process begun by Richard Nixon and detente and accelerated by peace through strength. I love this moment in history. It's not a Gorby soundbite. Cut number 18.
General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
All right, maybe the greatest moment in American diplomatic history versus a superpower. I have got to say, though, I love George H.W. Bush at the Malta summit with Gorby. I can't find the audio. Their Malta summit was some PR guy's stunt. Everyone was seasick. They were going between ships off of Malta. And H.W. said, just a couple of macho guys going between boats. I can't find it. I can't remember the exact quote, so don't quote me on that. But it was hilarious. Here's more Reagan. Actually, let me go to what John Ellis, and news items from John Ellis this morning. He clipped the George H.W. Bush quote from A World Transformed by George Bush and Brent Scowcroft. One contrast between our relationship, 41 said, and those that preceded it was the amount of contact I had with Gorbachev. I probably had more interaction with him than my combined predecessors did with their Soviet counterparts. I liked the personal contact with Mikhail. I liked him. Gorbachev and I found we could sit down and just talk. We could go around the world on issues. I thought I had a feel for his heartbeat. Openness and candor replaced the automatic suspicions of the past. It was a stark contrast to the dark decades of the Cold War we were leaving behind. It reminds me that Secretary of State Baker had a wonderful relationship with Shevardnadze, his counterpart in Russia. And H.W. managed the collapse of the Soviet Union in such an elegant way. Reagan brought it about. H.W. managed it. And I'm glad that John Ellis recalls that to mind. Dead at 92, the world will stop for a while and think what it was like just 30 years ago. Just 30 years. I mean, the Soviet Union collapses in 1991. It's over in 1991. It begins its collapse in 1989, but it's over by 1991. It goes away. Poland is free today. Hungary is free today. Bulgaria and Romania are free today. All of the states of Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia that have become various states, Lithuania, the Baltic states, are all free because Gorbachev was inept and Reagan and Bush were so very competent. That story will go on forever. I'm going to go to Joe Biden's speech, but I also want to mention one story that will get lost today. Oberlin College, my father's alma mater, my brother's alma mater. They were yeomen. They are yeomen. My brother's still kicking around, proudly being a yeoman. And my dad passed away many years ago, but he was a proud yeoman. And they would not be proud of Oberlin. I haven't talked to my brother about this yet. Oberlin tried to cancel the bakery that my dad and mom went to when they were a young married couple after World War II. My brother went to Gibson's Bakery. And Gibson's Bakery, I think I went to Gibson's Bakery because I, you know, we'd go to Oberlin sometimes just for fun. I went up to watch my brother play football there on a Saturday. And it was there from, I think, 1885. And the owner tackled a kid who was, if you look it up in Wikipedia, Gibson's Bakery versus Oberlin College, one of the owners tackled a kid who was shoplifting, and they turned it into a racial incident, alleging racial animus on the part of the bakery. And the university, the college, threw in with the kids and basically organized an illegal, tortious boycott and picketing of the bakery. And they got hit with an $11 million damage lawsuit for tortious interference with business and intentional infliction of mental distress, Oberlin did, and $25 million of punitive judgment are intended to deter the conduct that is exemplified by that at issue in the action. And I thought torts 1 year, so I can say things like that, pretend to actually know what I'm talking about. My law partners would laugh if they heard me talking about torts. But in any event, the college lost, $36 million gone. And the Ohio Supreme Court said, no mas, we're not taking the appeal. And everyone, oh, how bad for Oberlin. They don't try and drive people out of business on trumped-up fake claims of racism. Racism is a slander if it's not deserved. It is absolutely slanderous to assert that. And because it's so evil, racism is evil. And so Gibson said, we are not evil. We are a bakery, and we serve everyone. And the kid was tackled because he shoplifted, and then he hit the guy. It's a mess of a lawsuit, but it's absolutely clear that it wasn't motivated by racial bias, and Oberlin will pay the price now. And they've been falling off the floor for so many years. President Biden has promised tomorrow night to give a speech on the nation's soul. Boy, does this sound like Jimmy Carter to me. But then again, here is Jimmy Carter 2.0. I mean, it is, you know, the Afghanistan collapse is like, oh, there are Cubans in Africa? And maybe we get a Reagan out of this nightmare, but the president tomorrow night is going to try and improve on what he did last night at the Wilkes-Barre rally for Josh Shapiro, very good candidate for governor, and John Fetterman, very bad candidate for senator. So you got maybe the best the Democrats have to offer in Josh Shapiro and the worst the Democrats have to offer in John Fetterman. And they're together again, maybe the only time it'll appear with the president. Here's Joe Biden, cut number one.
More children die from guns than active duty police and active duty military personnel combined. Hear that again? More children in America die from guns than active duty police and active duty military in the United States combined. We have to act. We have to act for those families in Buffalo, Uvalde, Newtown, El Paso, Parkland, Charleston, Las Vegas, Orlando. I've been to every one of those sites. Sit down with those parents. I spent 4 hours last time. Met with every single one of the parents and families that lost someone. See the looks in their faces. Think about it. Think about the devastation that's occurred. We have to act for all those kids gunned down on our streets every single day that never make the news. There's a mass shooting every single day in this country, in the streets of America, every single day. You have to ask. You have to act so our kids can learn to read in school instead of learning to duck and cover.
What do you think the president wants us to do? We passed, the United States Congress passed and he signed a big law on red flags, which was a good law, and adding protection at school sites. What more does he want? He doesn't say. He's reading from the prompter. They don't know what to say. They don't want to, you know, Pennsylvania's. This is where the gun grabbers got mad at Hillary, remember? When she said the gun-clutching people of Pennsylvania, they don't want to hear about gun control. It's the deer hunter again. And so he doesn't want to say anything, so he doesn't. He goes on to say this, cut number three.
Folks, when it comes to fighting crime, we know it works. Officers on the street who know the neighborhood. Not a joke, who know the neighborhood.
Not a joke. That's the defund the police guy. That's the defund the police party. That's the George Soros prosecutor's guy. Cut number four, we're back to corn pop. Cut number four.
If I can just interject for a moment, my deceased son, Buck.
Right there. Everybody in the White House clutches at their chest. Right there, when he goes off prompter. Okay, cut number four.
If I can just interject for a moment, my deceased son, Bo, he was the attorney general of the state of Delaware. And what he used to do is go down in the east side, what's called the Bucket, highest crime rate in the country. There's a place where I was the only white guy that worked as a lifeguard down in that area, in the east side. And you know where you can always tell where the best basketball in the state is or the best basketball in the city is. It's where everybody shows up.
All right. Joe Biden scared the heck. There might have been some fatalities at the White House last night. People say, oh, my gosh, he's off script. Grandpa at the dining. Someone's got to sit next to Joe Biden at Thanksgiving. It's going to be his oldest grandchild. I bet you everything, because that's what happens. I can see it coming now. Don't go anywhere, America. I'm not for at least a decade. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Stay tuned. It's the Wednesday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt from the mid-coast of Maine this morning. I begin this hour with the next senator from Georgia, Herschel Walker. Good morning, Herschel. Welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I am great. Yeah, Herschel, I've been thinking since I first interviewed you in November. I haven't asked you this yet. Nick Chubb, I'm a season ticket holder to the Browns and have been since they came back from Baltimore. We got the franchise back. Nick Chubb is the best running back we've had. He's from Georgia. You think he's going to be a senator someday?
Well, if he wants to, I think Nick could be. You know, he's a hard worker. Nick is somebody that's very resilient. You know, he got injured at Georgia, and yes. No one thought he was going to come back like he did, and the kid has come back. He's an incredible player at Georgia. He was an incredible player at Georgia, and he's an incredible player there with the Browns. And he's going to let everyone know that he's going to be a person to reckon with.
You know, Herschel, I like the fact that he lets his game speak for itself. He is not very demonstrative. Do you approve of that among athletes?
What's strange, Nick Chubb is a guy, he don't say much, but he do his job. And, you know, that's the way I think a lot of people that I had an opportunity to play with, a guy that just goes out and play, and they don't say that much, but they let their actions speak for them, which is a great thing.
I think that's a lot of your voters, by the way. I noticed that some of the legacy media is now reporting, and they have to really swallow a lot of their own talk because they now note you're ahead of Raphael Warnock. And I think that's great. Is that what your internal polling shows?
Well, you know, one thing that I try to tell my campaign staff and everyone, guys, we want to continue the campaign like we're behind. This race is virtually tied, even though they've spent over 30-something million dollars against me. But I want them to look at this race as being virtually tied or we're behind because we're fighting for the people. We're fighting for the people, and I want the people to know that I got into this Senate race because I saw some problems, and I wanted to correct those problems, and I wanted the people of Georgia to know that I'm going to go to Washington and fight for them, whereas Senator Warnock went to Washington to enrich himself and also fight for Joe Biden, and I think that just wasn't right.
I'm going to come back to the Pastor Warnock's double salary in a moment. But first, because we're on in Atlanta and Macon and Athens, I want to play what President Biden had to say to people who own guns in America last night. If we can play for Herschel Walker, cut number 23.
And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America as independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun.
Now, Herschel Walker, there is scorn in the president's voice for people who believe in the Second Amendment. I don't think that works with his unity message at all, because a whole bunch of Americans, not me, own guns. What do you think of the president's comment last night and the scorn in his voice? Maybe you didn't hear it, but that's what I heard.
Well, you know, what's so funny is President Biden has been insulting people since he got into office. And it's sad that he don't believe in the unity. You can see that. And he got to try to bring people together. Right now, he's trying to pander to help the left to get votes. And I think they made a huge, huge mistake. You hear in his voice last night and as he was talking about defunding the police, and yet he seemed to have forgotten that people on the left are the one that did it. People like Senator Warnock, they're the one that did it. The crime on the street is because they decided to go with these judges that were soft on crime. They're the one that did it. But he's making it like, if the people on the right, and it is amazing that we have a president that has forgotten about the things that they have done to this country, and that's the reason come November, we got to get them out of office.
People that let me play for you,
country.
Let me play Herschel for you in the audience. President Biden talking about what you're talking about last night. Cut number three, the president in the Pennsylvania rally.
Folks, when it comes to fighting crime, we know it works. Officers on the street who know the neighborhood, not a joke, who know the neighborhood.
It goes on to say, we've got to fund the police. Herschel, it froze on me there. I just can't believe anyone forgets that the defund the police movement, along with the George Soros prosecutors, came from the President Biden party.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's what I'm saying. They've gotten so good at their marketing. And I said, that's what we got to remind people. And that, you know, they are the one that came up with this defund the police. And, you know, right now, that's one of the things that they know right now. When you look at the polling, crime has become a big, big issue with a lot of people. Crime has gone rapid. And the reason why is because, you know, Senator Warnock, Joe Biden, they've been soft on crime judges. You know, when you are emboldening criminals to do the things they're doing, you're not holding them accountable, they're going to continue to do what they're doing, which is commit crime.
He also talked about fentanyl coming into the country last night and how it's killing people.
That was the first time he mentioned it, which is great because they've forgotten all about the border. And that's what's sad. You remember a couple of months ago, everyone was down at the border talking about the border. Right now, just talking about fentanyl, you know, which has become the number one killer of 18 to 40-year-olds. And they've forgotten all about that. This border is a problem. And in Georgia, you know, Georgia not a border state, but yet 70% of the drugs coming into this country from the border go through Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, I did not know that.
Human trafficking and drugs.
I did not know that. So, Herschel, in terms of what people talk to you about the border, what do they want done? What do you promise to help get done as a senator?
Well, one thing that I would promise that I'm going to go and try to close the border and try to get people to come into this country legally. Because, you know, you do want people to come in legally, but I will fight, try to close the border and represent the people that of Georgia, because I think the people of Georgia need a representative in Washington, which we don't have that right now from Senator Warnock. He went to Washington to represent the agenda of Joe Biden, and it's not working. But you can see them try to change course right now and pretend they really care. But I want the voters to know they don't care, because if they care, they wouldn't be doing things right now just to pander to get your vote, because that's all they're trying to do is just to get your vote. They're trying to do whatever they can to entice you to vote for them.
Now, Herschel Walker, you alluded to Pastor Warnock's double salary. And if this was a Republican, this is some whataboutism coming at you. If this was a Republican, it would be on the front page of every newspaper every day that Raphael Warnock is taking a full salary from the church that he was the senior pastor for, while he also gets a senatorial salary. It's not a story in the national news media. Why is that?
Well, it's not a story because, you know, the media is not not my friend. The media is not my friend. It's amazing. You know, today, because I decided to speak the truth, they don't want to be friends with me anymore. They want to write everything great about Senator Warnock. But the guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's not what he's pretending to be. And people are seeing it now. So they're not going to write a bad story about Senator Warnock. Right now, he went to Washington to enrich himself. Right now, he's not what he say he is. And I think people need to expose that. And that's what I want people to know, that I'm going to go to Washington and fight for Georgia, where he went to Washington and fight for Joe Biden. I believe in lower taxes. He believe in higher taxes. He even voted to put men and women's sports. And I asked this simple question, well, you want Herschel Walker to compete against your daughter? Because I said, that's what he voted to do. And I think that's not right.
So, Herschel Walker, we got about 2 minutes left. The money that you brought up, the campaign is being outspent. Small dollar contributions are down across the United States. I put up your website. But inflation has just crushed fundraising, right? 13% year-over-year increase in food. People cannot give to campaigns, but are you getting any?
We are. We know, and God, I want to thank all my donors, because we've been in the top fundraiser on the Republican side since I entered the race. I want to thank all my donors for doing that. And, you know, Raphael Warnock, he's been a top fundraiser in for all senatorial people, including the Democrat. So I have a tough race. But right now, money is not going to get you the votes, because I'm going to get out and meet the people. And I know he cannot work me. He cannot outwork me because he stays in Washington for the first time. He now has started campaigning in Georgia. And I think people see that there's a difference between he and I. I care about people. I think right now he tries to be this magician, and he said it on one of his commercials that he's not a magician. And I'm like, you're not a good senator either because you don't seem to be representing the people that sent you to Washington to represent them.
If you agree to debate him, Herschel, or if he agrees to debate you, I hope you will make sure that you have a balanced panel, someone who's a conservative and someone who's a liberal. Otherwise, it'll just be, you know what it's like to be tackled by three people, right? That's what it'll be.
I do. And, you know, I have agreed to debate him if he'll come to Savannah, Georgia on October 14th and do a fair and equitable debate between he and myself. It'll be in front of an audience. It'll be televised statewide, and he has not agreed to that. He doesn't want anything like that. He don't want the people to see that there's a difference between he and I. So he's still running and hiding, but I have agreed to a debate so he can continue to hide behind his Twitter account or hide behind the media, but I have agreed to debate him on a fair and equitable debate.
Herschel Walker, keep coming back. Great to talk to you this morning. Thank you for joining me. I'll be right back, America, with more of today's Wednesday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Good morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, candidate Hugh Hewitt, live from Midcoast, Maine. I like to tell people that Maine is a lot like Ohio without an ocean and a lake instead. And Indiana is a lot like Ohio without Ohio's hills and mountains. And Erin Hochin wants to be Indiana's new representative from their 9th congressional district. She is a state senator in Indiana right now. She's a proud graduate of IU, so she knows something about basketball, not much about football, probably. Erin, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Hugh. I am honored to be here. Thanks for what you do and the conservative movement and spreading the word. I'm calling to you from Salem, Indiana, onto the Salem Radio Network.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, Erin, I am very excited. I saw you at the Wyoming gathering, and I think that you're going to win, and I think you're going to lead because you've won before. You worked for Dan Coats for a lot of years, so you're obviously solid conservative. But why go from what is an easy commute to the Indiana State Capitol to the hard commute? I've looked at the pictures of your family, a gorgeous family. It's going to be a lot of travel.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so I get asked that question a lot, actually, because we were able to accomplish a whole lot in the state Senate. But you know, my parents taught me if you can do, you should do. And, at this point in the time in our country, I look around and I see a lot of families hurting in southern Indiana because of the policies of the Biden administration. And I can do something about it, so I should do something about it. And I'd rather be one of 435 in the fight than on the sidelines. So we're going to take this fight right to Washington.
Erin, I love that answer, because my theory is you do as much as you can for as many as you can for as long as you can. And you
exactly right.
I took more words than you did to say that. Let me play for you President Biden last night talking about Americans who own guns. I'm not one of them, but let's hear what the president said about that cut 23.
And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America's independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun.
It's kind of difficult to be scornful and stupid at the same time and also disinterested in unity. But what did you make of that comment, Erin?
Well, I mean, President Biden, we've seen some of the disdain that he's had in some other recent comments that he's made. I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, I've authored legislation on that in the State House and fought for those issues because it is a fundamental right. And it doesn't matter what the weapon is, we have a right to defend ourselves. Now, you might argue that, or he might argue that, you know, that those weapons aren't necessary, but we sure hope they're not. But, you know, I was having a conversation yesterday, and in these extreme circumstances, we could find ourselves, in need of a defense. And in that case, we certainly wouldn't want the government coming in and, preventing us from our own public protection.
Yeah, in the very lengthy decisions on the Second Amendment, it's always about personal protection at home against the state or criminals. And if President Biden wants to repeal it, he can. This 9th congressional district, are people coming up to you and asking for you to repeal the Second Amendment?
Absolutely not, Hugh. Absolutely not.
Tell us about your district. Tell us about your district.
Sure. The district, it has the, it includes the Indiana University in the far left corner. That tends to be the bluer area of the district. unironically. And then the district goes from IU over to Ohio, and then from Bloomington down to Kentucky. So it's like the southeast corner of the state, and it is very, very red. The district is Republican to the advantage of 13 points generally on a generic ballot. Donald Trump won this district by 27. So we feel really good going into the fall election. However, we're not going to take it for granted. We're going to fight for it. But people here, they're caring about the issues that affect human beings, inflation, gas prices, the price of groceries, the student loan forgiveness bailout, border security, fentanyl and crime, as well as just the right to educate their kids as they see fit.
Now, people ask me, why would I have on a prohibitive favorite Republican? It's because you are next to Ohio, where J.D. Vance is running, and the issue set is the same. So when you talk about these issues, you're also talking to the Ohio voters across the state line. Now, God blessed all those people with being Buckeyes, and he made you be a Hoosier. But nevertheless, it is the same issue set, isn't it?
It is a very similar issue set. My daughter's actually in college in Ohio, so she's a Buckeye and a Browns fan now.
She's on the right path.
That's right. But she, you know, we're over there to see her and the issues among, you know, the student body that she's with. Even at a university setting, you know, there are similar issues. These are the things people are worried about. They're worried about the issues that affect human beings and their daily lives and the ability to keep food on the table and pay their bills. And with groceries up 13% or more, this is getting into a time where it's really tough for Americans. And, you know, the spending of the Biden administration just keeps making a bad problem worse.
You know, Aaron Houchin, if you go over to IU, it's sort of like my old congressional district where Scott Baugh, I hope, will be the new congressional representative, has UCI in it, University of California, Irvine, very blue. I think actually the president gave you an issue on which to campaign on that campus among the students who have paid their way versus the students who are having their debt forgiven. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, our family, my parents worked to pay for my college and not take out loans. And then, you know, I had to take out a loan for graduate school and we paid that off. These students that have worked hard or made other decisions and, you know, and maybe not taking a college track because of the cost, this is just monumentally unfair and I think unconstitutional. And I think people are certainly not happy about it. That's one issue that has cropped up recently that the general public, regular voters, they are not happy. 300,000 Hoosiers will benefit from Joe Biden's bailout and benefit, I use loosely. But what about the 6.1 million other Hoosiers who are going to have to pay that ticket?
And I also think of people like Taylor University, or I don't know if Taylor accepts student loans or not, but Hillsdale to your north doesn't. And they are disadvantaged by this because now students have an incentive to get, I mean, they're encouraging loans, aren't they, State Senator? Because if you get a loan, there's a good chance that the next president will forgive that one.
Yeah, I think it's going to make the cost of education, of higher education, even higher. And, you know, it's going to have an inflationary effect. It's going to hurt colleges that don't take student loans because, you know, people will go to those, you know, the mouse will find the cheese in terms of, you know, economically what they think is best for them. But in the long run, it's not.
Aaron Houchin, which, you know, Congress, because you work for Senator Dan Coats, which committees do you want to serve on when you get there? What do you want to work on the most?
You know, I really want to tackle, so we need an accountable government. So any of the committees that will help us hold the government accountable, but we've got bureaucrats that are really part of the swamp that have been there for a long time that we need to put some daylight on that. And so I'm hoping to serve on the Financial Services Committee. That will give us an opportunity to tackle these woke policies of ESG and other things that have no place in investments and no place in banking, whether that's personally or commercially. We have to turn the country around away from this woke agenda and back to some of the, I would call it the Reaganomics of the future. And I really hope to be a part of that.
Yeah, Senator Houchin, when I was in Wyoming, I learned that there are only two proxy advisory companies accounting for 95-98% of the proxy advisory, and they're all ESG'd. And I do think this is an issue about which Americans will be alarmed if they learn about it. And that financial services is where you go to actually bring the heat.
That's exactly right. And I think if they can do this in the corporate lending world, then they can do this in the private individual lending world. And it's not just a slippery slope. It's a scary one. And we got to fight back against those policies.
So, Senator, last question for you. How many people butcher your name like I have? Houchin, Houchin, Houchin. I got it. You know, my producer's in my ear telling me Houchin, Houchin, Houchin. How many people do that?
Almost every day. I had a state senator I served with for 8 years that never got it right all 8 years. But
he should be in radio.
great guy. I get it all the time.
Well, good no luck problem. On the trail. Get out there. Put what's the website for the campaign, by the way, Erin?
It's erinhouchin.com. erinhouchin.com.
Go there. Help her out. You are helping every Republican in the country when you help out young freshmen-to-be congresspeople like State Senator Houchin. Thank you, Senator. 1-800-520-1234. I'll take your calls on our candidates this morning when I come back. 1-800-520-1234. Herschel and Houchin. That's who I've had on. Zach Nunn is coming up. Herschel and Houchin. Generalissimo is just pulling his hair out over there. I'm sorry. Also, you know, it doesn't matter if you vote the right way, if you get it close enough and you go into the voting booth. But I want to go back to what I had that call last hour upset about Dr. Oz's dual citizenship. If you heard that, but you didn't hear the next segment, it took 30 seconds to find out he has said that he has it to care for his ailing mother, but that he is going to renounce it before he is sworn in as U.S. senator. He will only be a U.S. citizen, not an issue. Took 30 seconds to find out. Google something when you have a question. They've usually answered it. I'll be right back, America, on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, Midcoast Maine, talking with Zach Nunn, who is going to Congress in January of next year. I saw Zach Nunn on a panel moderated by Morgan Ortegas a couple of weeks ago, and I said, wow, this guy is the real deal. Combat aviator in the United States Air Force, 700 combat hours of flying, father of six, state senator in Iowa. What's not to like? Good morning, Zach Nunn. Welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Morning, Hugh. Thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate it. We're just back from the border with Congressman Tony Gonzalez, looking at just the humanitarian disaster, but also the massive drug influx that's making, you know, every state in the union border community now with 2 million migrants and a lot of criminals coming across the southern border.
Fentanyl pouring in. Zach Nunn, in terms of what you want to get done in Congress, will you tell us? What is your number one objective when you get elected?
The first thing we hear from everybody, and we've knocked just about 40,000 doors now, is that they need some relief in the economy. They need a leadership team that's going to hold, you know, the larger government bureaucracy accountable, stop printing off money that we don't have. You know, it's impossible to ask an Iowan to tighten their belt here in the Midwest when Washington, D.C. goes out there and spends their entire tax paycheck on things like loan forgiveness for folks who have up to $250,000 as a couple, or our small businesses who are about to be pillaged by 78,000 new IRS agents, or a year on from the failure in Afghanistan are being asked to, you know, support a administration that is energy dependent on foreigners, but can't even save Americans still left in Afghanistan today. These are the type of things that really resonate with people in my community, and they've got people not only upset, but actively seeking a change in Washington.
Before I drill down on the student loan forgiveness, Senator Nunn, what is the campaign website?
Yeah, so check us out at zachnunn.com. That's ZACHNUNN.com. I'm a kid of the 80s, and my mother read the Bible, so a little Zachariah right there.
Zach, well, I like Nunn. That. I can remember that. That's eight letters. Zach Nunn. I can remember that. So, Zach Nunn, in terms of how did you pay for college? You're a Drake graduate. How did you pay for college?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, I worked all through high school on the farm and then at the grocery store. And then when I went to college, I worked all the way through. I did have to take some loans out, and I paid them back within the first, you know, 5 years by working. And then I went on to grad school, Hugh, and I paid for that by serving in the military, three combat tours overseas. I'm all about helping young people get through college. Here in Iowa, as a state senator, we pass a law. If you want to be a nurse, if you want to be a teacher and then go out and work for 4 years in a community that needs you, absolutely, let's help you. Here's what I don't appreciate. I don't appreciate asking a truck driver or a dental hygienist or a waitress to pay your way through college so you can get a gen ed degree, sit around for multiple years with $50,000 in debt, and then expect somebody else to pay for it for you, so that you can go out and maybe do the same thing. It's unfair. Nobody's paying your car loan, your house mortgage. This is the kind of situation where we're rewarding people for not doing the right thing, and we're punishing the people that did it and earned it the right way.
You know, Zach, I wrote a column for the Washington Post about everyone who's frosted by this, and I'm among them because, like you, I paid off my graduate school loans. My parents helped me through college, though I worked every week in college at one of many jobs. But you are the people I'm really, you represent the group I am most certain is looking at this askance. Combat veterans who got the GI Bill. Because,
right.
Boy, oh boy, you didn't get $20,000 extra for going to Afghanistan for 700 hours of flight time.
Yes, sir. Exactly. And, you know, I join my brothers and sisters, not just those who deployed in the military, but anybody who's taken on the hard jobs that make our country work. And I look at folks like our carpenters, my electricians. We've got a union up the street for the pipe fitters. These are guys who are doing hard work every day. They chose to go into it. And as a result, they're now paying for somebody else's college experience. Because that's really what it is for a lot of these folks. They're not, the folks who are going on to be doctors and attorneys largely should be able to afford this. It's the individuals who have racked up debt and buying everything from not just their college experience, but anything else they can put on that loan, and now are asking other individuals to pay for it. And Americans just see that as intrinsically unfair.
You know, Zach Nunn, the president didn't bring it up last night. He gave this big, long stem winder in Pennsylvania. He did not bring it up last night. What's that tell you?
Well, it tells me they don't have a plan here. And here, Hugh, here's the hardest thing. I've got four kids. We just took on two foster kids in December. We love all of them. But this does not fix the problem for their future. You know, they're saying within 4 years, we'll be back up at over $1 trillion in debt. All we're doing is pouring fuel on the fire for inflation, growing the cost of colleges. We're empowering four-year institutions to raise their tuition rate, and that's at a huge cost to our community colleges, our trade schools. Biden knows he stepped in it, but he won't admit he's wrong, and he's going to continue to do this illegal action where he is a president, can write an executive order to spend nearly $1 trillion in loan forgiveness that's going to be paid for by the American people.
That's what Ron DeSantis said first. It's unconstitutional. I'm glad you made that point. ZachNunn.com, ZachNunn.com, or text JOINZN to 47682. JOINZN 47682. Thank you, Zach Nunn. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Generalissimo. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I'll be back tomorrow on the next Hugh Hewitt Show.
The Hugh Hewitt Show is now available on TV. Go to SalemNewsChannel.com or download the app. You can also watch on Roku and Fire Stick. Salem News Channel, the antidote to the mainstream media.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.